Are these new sneakers?
These are new sneakers.
They're supposed to look distressed. I like it. That's cool. I mean, isn't that like a distressed look?
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Cool. You're like, are they supposed to look like... And now I'm almost as tall as you.
That's awesome. What, did you watch any of the game?
I watched it. I watched it all. So I had Ohio State on the big TV and UTBG on the little TV in the first half.
And then in the second half, switched it to the
UTBG, big TV, big TV in the Kaplan household. I think what we want to provide what people want to hear, which is the Falcons tearing apart the drone rockets.
Like one of the guys asked him, reporter from BCSN, like, what's the common thread between, you know, the second half letdowns against Western Michigan and Bowling Green? And he's like, we lost.
This is the heart of the rivalry, the Blades college football show that covers the just heat-seeking programs of Toledo and Bowling Green, also Ohio State and Michigan. This Battle of I-75 rivalry is, of course, brought to you by our sponsors. Dale's in Maumee, Dale's Bar and Grill. Whether you're looking for a table for the whole family or just a bar stool to catch the game, Dale's has you covered with a full menu of wraps and salads and sandwiches. Combine that with 21 beers on tap, and there is something for everyone.
I think we've had all 21 of them at Dale's.
I may have had 21 watching that Tigers game.
That was incredible.
It was. This episode also brought to you by Renewal by Anderson, the window replacement experts backed by 120 years of quality and craftsmanship from consultation to installation. Renewal by Anderson makes upgrading your home easy, beautiful, and worry-free. When he was a player, you would chant Eddie, but now that he's a coach, do you think he deserves some decorum? Do you think it's Edward?
King Edward?
Pretty cool, though, man.
Unbelievable.
Should we do this intro? Should we, so we can just get rolling into it?
Yeah. We'll only talk about BG Toledo, pretty much.
Pretty much.
And then whatever.
Ohio State rolled.
Yeah.
Michigan sucks. They need Connor Stallions back.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's basically, so back to the Battle of I-75, right? He's the road runner, Toledo Blade columnist David Briggs. I am the Wile E. Coyote, who has a long-running Acme subscription, Phil Kaplan, and we are back to talk more Battle of I-75. Faithful viewers of this show will know that the guy at the left of your screen, right of your screen, predicted a Bowling Green win, but what unfathomable fashion it took place. With the sealing interception being picked off a wide receiver's butt. The butt pick.
Yep.
Incredible. Immediately added to the lore of what Edward Nathan George Jr. says is one of the top five highlights in the rivalries in the country. Yep. And that game didn't disappoint if you like a rivalry matchup.
Didn't disappoint for Bowling Green fans. And I guess the fans nationally who are watching. But I don't know if I've seen a game swing as much as that so quickly since at least 3 weeks ago when Toledo blew a equally shocking lead.
They didn't get to 99.9. They only got to 97.7.
Three weeks ago, Toledo had a 99.9% to close out Western Michigan. Couldn't do it. This year, what was the top it got to? 98%?
Right before Cam Pettaway for BG 21 president.
21-0 late in the first half.
He has that incredible screen pass where he seemed to just churn.
Drag the entire defense.
I know. Unreal. So right before that play was its peak, 97.7. Yeah. But midway through the third, it was back above 96, again, according to ESPN.
So ESPN's win probability algorithm has it at 97.7% chance of Toledo winning. History said it was 100. Bowling Green had never, in 100-plus years of its program, never come back from a deficit that large.
It was 0-75, and now it is 1-75. Fitting I-75 moniker.
So I don't know. And we all, you know, if you're listening to this, you watch the game. And just as I mentioned, I mean, what an absolute remarkable, resilient win, signature win for Eddie George and Bowling Green. Awesome scene. Everything you want a rivalry game to be. Should ESPN, thankfully, was there firsthand to see how great it is on a Saturday. So just
that's
further
neat.
Further evidence that it should be criminal to put this civic Treasure on a November weeknight. 24,000 people there. They were actually turning people away at the door. I thought they were going to continue selling standing room, but 24,000 was the
Oh, wow. Standing room only. Back out to the lawn.
And they said they referred them to their official ticketing partner, SeatGeek. We could use a new sponsor.
Those
were going for $100+ close to kickoff. So, yeah, just a great tailgating scene. BG is as good of a tailgating scene as there is because it's just all grass lots around it. Awesome scene, sold out. But for the game, on the other side, yeah, that's as bad as it gets. Afterward, I asked Jason Candle, is this as tough of a loss as you've endured in your 10 years at Toledo? And he brushed it off saying, you know, I don't rank wins, I don't rank losses, but we'll help him out here. This is the worst loss. Like, it's not close. I mean,
there such a thing as being too even keel? You know, he doesn't want there to be big games. He doesn't want there to be rank. He doesn't want, you know, he seems like a flat guy. Sometimes that can be a sign of poise and leadership, but it's an emotional game.
No, for sure. I think there's everything is fair game and on the table when you go chips to the center for a season like this and are now 3-3 and all but out of the MAC race by October. If we can just go back real quick. I mean, Toledo's always been a consistent program, but this kind of had the feel of an all-in year. They brought back every starter with eligibility returning. They hammer the transfer portal, get some big-time guys who every Group of Five team in the country would have wanted, including Chip Tranum. They are ahead of the revenue-sharing game. Their athletic director, Brian Blair, is super aggressive. He's all-in on football. I would not be
a good dude.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if between NIL and revenue-sharing that Toledo had at least three times more invested in their roster than Bowling Green. This is like the Pirates playing the Dodgers, and that baseball is anything can happen. So that's a horrible example that should be stricken from the record. But the point is Toledo is all in, and this is supposed to be a special
season. Now that's us saying that, though, because I think Jason Candle might say, well, this year's just like every other year.
Yeah, oh, no, for sure. I mean, but it's, for sure. I mean, Jason does not love the outside expectations, but they are what they are. And you can't pretend this is a local media creation. I see the emails, you know, people kind of like to mock you. Oh, you build up Toledo again. Well, we didn't build up Toledo last preseason. I think we built them up in 2023 and they had a good year. And certainly have been misses in the past. None quite as off like this, but it's not just Toledo media building up Toledo. Phil Steele, you know, kind of the definitive voice of college football, who has a 1,000-page magazine that's kind of the pseudo Bible of the season. He had Toledo ranked in his preseason top 25. Reese Davis had Toledo ranked in his preseason top 25.
Talent on paper, top 25.
Seven AP voters. And I was not one of them. Seven of the 60 AP voters had Toledo ranked top 25.
Are you saying that Toledo's performance isn't your columnist writer's fault?
Partly my fault.
Okay.
But, you know, this was preseason MAC. I mean, they weren't just the preseason MAC favorite, overwhelmingly. They were widely regarded as a national sleeper, a playoff dark horse. And you can laugh at that or love it and think it's awesome for Toledo to dream these dreams. But
if you feel like you have those aspirations in reach when it's 0-0 and you're going out there for the first time.
Absolutely. And I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think every question, big picture question is fair on the table. I'm not putting Jason Candle on the hot seat just yet, although certainly a majority of the fans are.
Hot seat.
But
time for an episode of hot seat.
But
James
Franklin would
be at the top of the list.
Right,
he's already hot seated.
3-3 conference preseason favorite gets fired. That's not
second alumni's responsible for that. You know, you just can't lose to the nerds like that. They couldn't.
Yeah.
It was Penn State's homecoming, and they were just like, we can't lose to the geeks on homecoming.
I know.
Poor James Franklin and his $50 million bet he has to go crying.
But yeah, like I said, I mean, there is nothing off the table. I mean, like you said, there needs to be changes, and I'm not talking about coaching changes, although I'm sure there will be staff changes after the year. I think it has gotten to that point where you
or just workload changes.
Where you have to start evaluating
what?
Everything. Yeah, I think you have to start evaluating how you approach this rivalry. It's an all-in 365-day-a-year thing for Bowling Green. I don't know if that's the case at Toledo. They certainly emphasize it, but not in the same way. I think you have to look at whether Jason Candle should continue to be the play caller. I like Jason a lot, and he's a he's done so many great things with the program. He's a great program builder. He's a great recruiter. He's great retention. Players love playing for him. Coaches love coaching for him.
So he produces NFL talent
out the wazoo. Incredible recruiting classes every year. Everything. Great CEO. But that's probably the key word. He's a great CEO. Should he also be buried in his role as the offensive coordinator, the offensive play caller? Is that putting his talents to best use? I think at minimum, he should give up his play calling. I don't think that's a stretch after, and I know that I'm sure that'll be very difficult for him if it comes to that. He's obviously,
I think
he would be good as an offensive coordinator. I think he's fine as an offensive coordinator, and I think he'd be good as an offensive coordinator, say he went to Ohio State or Michigan and that was his full-time thing. But I just think it's fair to have a coach when you have inconsistencies in the program. I mean, just look at the Bowling Green collapse was just kind of a microcosm of everything fans kind of are disappointed in with Toledo football. It's the penalties. It's the
lot.
It's the inconsistency. It's the just, I mean, it's
kind
blowing,
of falling, and then falling
big
asleep,
leads. It's
falling asleep
an egg.
At the wheel.
It's the complacency.
Yeah,
falling asleep I don't know if as the game's getting away, is it better to have a coach who's kind of buried in the play sheet, kind of trying to figure out how to fix the offense, or one who's kind of looking at it from 20,000 feet and kind of surveying the situation? Because there's a clear disconnect somewhere in this program. I mean, Bowling Green was creative and resilient and just kept coming, and Toledo was the exact opposite of that. And I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know if it's I'll never say like a team's not tough or
so
mentally fragile, but they are not able to handle the slightest bit of adversity. Bowling Green kept swinging, and Toledo, once they got punched, they just completely went the other way.
On television, it did look like Toledo endured a little bit of shell shock, especially after that incredible play where I thought the lineman was in, but it didn't matter. On the next play, BG scores. But Toledo gets the ball back.
Right.
And
but you still have a feeling that it's totally over.
But wait a minute. They're moving it.
Yeah.
They're moving
yeah.
it, and Gleason is slinging it, and they're doing all right, and a freak play is what concludes it. On top of that, you might say, now, I'm just playing sort of candles advocate here.
Oh, no.
That it was a freak semi-Hail Mary situation that lost you the Northern Illinois game.
Right.
Michigan
game?
The bugaboo in my mind forever is Northern Illinois.
Oh, yeah,
but
sure,
yes, it was
sure.
Kalamazoo, of course.
Yeah.
They're 3-3.
But this is
if they go 9-3, could you hear the eye roll on the mics? So they go 9-3. Do these just look like, hey, you know, players make plays? We tried to put our guys in the position to win.
I don't know. I mean, I think 9-3 would be an incredibly resilient performance by this Toledo team. I think we'll find out a lot what this Toledo team is made of, to use the ultimate sports cliche, in the coming weeks. And if they can go 9-3, all the credit to them. At the same time, with everything we've mentioned that's been invested in this team, to be 3-3 with two losses in your first three MAC games, both as a huge favorite, double-digit favorite, that completely takes the air out of the season from the start, I think it would still be disappointing. If 9-3, you're probably not getting in the MAC title game. If they do go on to win the MAC title, I think we could look at this season very differently. But so far, relative to expectations, you know, I gave my midterm. We had our midterms before. I gave them in the paper this week.
They dropped a little bit.
Relative to expectations,
dropped.
I would
They're
say
great
Toledo gets an F so far. There's certainly room for extra credit coming up. But
still a talented team. We know that.
No, for sure. I mean, big picture, it is just heat of the moment revisionism for fans to cast Jason Candle's 10 years at Toledo as anything but a success. I mean, he's the all-time winningest coach. There's a lot of really good things. Even last year in a down season, you have two wins that bring a lot of juice, Mississippi State and Pittsburgh. And there's something to be said. I mean, he's never going to – the basement is super high. But if you look at the trends – every year, every full season since 2018, with the exception of 2023, when they went 11-1, you're looking at 7-5 regular seasons or worse, or 6-6 or 7-5. I shouldn't say they're that bad. That's incredible consistency, but is it time to, and again, I'm not saying coaching change, but is it time to make a wholesale reevaluation of how you're doing things?
You said, you know, when I said, hey, I'm taking BG here, you know, for the rivalry, for the throw the records out.
Yeah.
And you said, seriously, wow, where does the program, where would the program go from there
yeah.
if they did lose? And now we are there and yeah. they have to make, you know, those choices along their path. But the reality
of, yeah.
is that they probably finished 7-5.
That's
like
that
you
seems
said.
That seems most likely. And I've actually, I guess I became the sports columnist in 2016 after covering Ohio State for many years. And so I've been here for all of Candle's 10 years, great highs, some downs, and this is by far and away the angriest the fan base has been. I think you can see that from social media. I can see that from my emails, many of which were to Brian Blair and CC to me, so I can kind of see some of the things that he's getting. So I don't know. It'll be
what would you describe that as without revealing intimate details?
Oh, I mean, people are just heat of the moment. I mean, everybody wants to fire the coach.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As I said, it's revisionism to say that Jason has not been a success, but this is a clear crossroads.
There was
a crossroads in 2022 when they were 7-5 going into the MAC title game. I think Jason was probably not going to make it if they had lost that game and had a 7-6 season. But when they were down, he showed us a lot. We'll see what they can show us this time. So it'll be interesting.
There were some different interpretations of the handshake between Coach Candle and Coach George at the end of the game. Some people feeling it was a bit too abrupt by Coach Candle. Maybe he's upset with his team. You've been around the program since the loss. Is Candle handling it even keel? Has he shown some emotion?
I did not actually see the handshake, so that's...
We'll leave it up to speculation.
Okay.
It's
okay.
A keep it moving situation.
Okay,
I think
okay.
it can
was
be.
Was it just kind of a drive-by?
It was a drive-by.
Okay. Well, that's pretty common. I mean, you're not going to. It's not like they know each other. He's ticked. And,
he was.
I don't read too much into that. I think Jason respects Eddie George. And, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jason's his typical even keel self, at least in public and in the press conference. Our new Toledo reporter asked him about. Kind of parallel with Penn State, actually, and kind of how do you keep this from the noise from kind of, you know, going off the rails and not letting one or two losses beat you again and again and again. And Jason, you know, you just typical coach speak, you know, you just focus on the moment and we've got to stay together. And so, yeah, just typical even keel. And yeah.
Do you think he has a private moment where he grabs a helmet and slams it on the desk?
Oh, yes.
He's got to.
For sure.
He's got
to. I wish.
And good
would,
for him
yeah.
for knowing yeah. how to play the game and keeping a level head. That's got to be upsetting.
If I was, for sure. There's nobody more competitive than Candle. I mean, what he shows in public is not is not the competitor he is. I wish he would show, and sometimes I thought this with Todd Kowalczyk too, I wish they would show... Just after devastating losses sometimes, I wish they would kind of open up and show more of their humanity, just kind of a human toll on them. And I mean, this is absolutely devastating to them. And yet you see Jason come into the press conference and it's just kind of, he's trying to project a stoic face and an even keel, where I think it would be helpful to show the human emotion. Look, this is embarrassing. We feel terrible. Nobody wanted it more than our players and us.
They got
like,
us. We'll see
and,
next
and
year.
No. But in just like taking accountability for everything. Instead, he had a comment that I know rankled a lot of fans. He mentioned Toledo was called for a lot of penalties. They're one of the most penalized teams in the country this year, again. And he had a comment, something along the lines of, I guess Bowling Green was just twice as disciplined as us. Like, well, maybe they were. I don't know. I mean, the penalties on Toledo, I didn't notice that there were any blatant bad calls on Toledo. Maybe there could have been more calls on Bowling Green. I can't say that without going back and studying each play from the all 22 and grading the officials. But it's just not something you would like to hear after a loss.
When you give up a 3-touchdown lead,
right.
It isn't just one
right.
thing.
And there
know,
wasn't
it's a
single,
cumulative
right, right.
blanket.
Yeah, it's everything. It's the yeah, I don't really single out players, but it's yeah, it's everything.
So
nobody escapes blame for this.
So from the objective perch here at the Toledo Blade, just covering the news of the events.
Yeah.
This has got to rank up there, though.
Oh, yeah.
As one
of
the
sure.
more
it's
exciting
one of the,
additions
yeah.
of this rivalry.
Absolutely. And let's not take any credit away from Bowling Green. Absolutely incredible win.
Cam Pettaway for president.
Cam Pettaway for president. And they actually had a victory rally. They sent out a media alert yesterday morning and said, we're having a victory rally on the, I forget where it was, the quad or or what they call their what's the oval equivalent of
on BG
Bowling Green? Yeah.
I expect you to know.
Well,
that
I mean, I've been on campus a million times. I just call that area like the lawn.
Around the stadium, but on the in the
just
campus.
Kind of on the campus, they had Pudge and the marching band, and Eddie George was taking pictures of students, and they had food, and you see Eddie Pudge on game day. That was awesome.
I did.
So yeah, I think that was BG is having a moment, man. I mean, they are riding the Pudge fever, the Eddie effect, and they are two huge clubs.
Rivalry win, yeah. Icon coach,
yeah.
New mascot.
Mm-hmm.
Tough to beat that.
Yeah, for
That's
sure.
It's everything you
Absolutely.
Want in college football. Ohio State is.
You see, I gave them an A. Wow.
Yeah, they deserve it. They look like a logging company.
Yeah.
They're just like a deforestation
mm-hmm,
machine,
mm-hmm.
just flattening everything
yeah,
in front of them.
I know
Illinois ended up with 16 points,
yeah,
but again, those goal line stands.
Yeah.
And you can see their confidence. They literally, I feel like they get a couple inches taller when it's time their backs are against the goal
yeah.
lines.
They are an incredibly efficient team. They are the most like boring, great team
Pretty
I have seen in
play,
a while.
You think, you
They're
think,
kind of like those old Georgia teams that just kind of...
Do you think Day is doing this on purpose, especially with the offense, basically like keeping the governor on it because he knows the real season is the second season now
yeah.
for the Bucs?
I mean, there's a part of that for sure. I mean, Julian Sands, a 19-year-old redshirt freshman in his first year as a starter, so you're obviously trying to...
Wow, does he play mistake-free football,
I know. I think he's the second most efficient quarterback in the country, so I don't think the offense is quite as dynamic as last year when they had two... electric runners and Henderson and Judkins, but the quarterback play is just as good. The receivers are just as good. The line is playing well. And the defense, wow. Yeah. I mean,
wow.
This is as good of a defense as we've seen
there was
ever
a,
so far.
There was a camera shot of Arvell Reese standing next to Caleb Downs,
yeah.
and he was almost a half a helmet bigger.
Jeez,
and I just
yeah.
didn't realize
yeah,
that Arvell
yeah.
Reese was
oh,
that
big,
stout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think Jim Knowles is regretting leaving for Penn State now.
I think anybody
God.
Associated with Penn State is regretting. I have a comp for you.
Yeah.
And you can say if this is, you know, it's a few games into the guy's career, that's not fair.
Brian Day and John Cooper?
No. Saiyan and Joe Germain.
I can see that.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You know, baby face, calm
yeah.
in the pocket back
right.
there.
From the West, Arizona. Joe Germain was from Arizona, I believe.
Hey, there
Julian's
you go.
Julian's from California. So, yeah, for sure.
I like that you like it.
Yeah, I do like it.
And now, who do you compare Bryce Underwood to? Objective, Dave. You work for Objective News Outlet.
I'm trying to think. I mean, he's a...
Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, he's a... I'm trying to... Somebody big. He's like a... Just a You got to have the running ability, too. I mean, God, I don't know. If he's really good, he almost is trending in that one-of-a-kind area. 6'4", 240, monster arm, but also a great runner. I mean,
but they struggled. It's not, there's 21 other guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he is not. He looks like a freshman, which he is.
Yeah.
So it's and he doesn't have great pass-catching weapons around him. But the thing that was most alarming was just the defense. I mean, this is supposed to be, on paper, they returned as much as anybody in the Big Ten.
Should be the strength of the team.
Yeah, and they gave up 224 yards on the ground, and their passing defense hasn't been that great this year. So, I don't know. I thought that was a coin flip game, and to get absolutely thumped like that kind
yep.
of makes you reevaluate things in the big picture. They do not, including Southern California, at least at the time they played them, they were not going to play a single ranked team. Between the Oklahoma game and Ohio State. So you thought maybe they could ride that soft schedule into playoff contention and then just set themselves up for one big upset against Ohio State. But I don't know if they can get to Ohio State with just one more loss. So,
but Coach Moore will be as bulletproof as ever
yeah.
if he gets another win
right,
against
right. Oh,
the
yeah,
Columbus,
I mean,
the Columbus
yeah.
crew.
Obviously, he'll beat Ohio State. But I just don't know. I just don't know if that's going to be enough to get him in the playoff. No.
You asked the
But point. I do think... I mean, who knows with the rivalry game? I didn't see any conceivable path for Michigan to win last year. But they had two of the best defensive tackles in the country, and when Ryan Day and Chip Kelly get up in their feelings and want to prove how tough they are by running it up the middle,
straight at those guys,
there was a path to lose. I don't really see the path, and famous last words, the path to Michigan beating this Ohio State team if they can't even stop the run. Because, I mean, if Ohio State's going to be able to throw and run, I don't...
You know what my response to that is, right?
Throw out the records.
Rivalry game, throw out the records. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Let's do a quick look ahead.
Yeah.
Ohio State travels to Wisconsin. They're on their, I think you're next in line to play quarterback at Wisconsin. Michigan, a little get right situation.
I don't know about that. Washington at home is pretty tough. They're 5-1. I mean, I think they're...
Toledo's got the get right situation.
Toledo's got
Kent
the get
State.
Right situation at home against Kent State. I don't know, man. I think that's going to be a morgue at the Glass Bowl on Saturday. Home against
Murmurs.
Home against
I think there's
going to
be a
State.
It's going to be a murmuring crowd.
What do you think the scene will be like?
Well, it's college football. You go out there to enjoy
that
Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
are a lot of people
going to
tailgate and
they,
not go inside?
If they turn in a stinker.
Yeah, they're 25 point favorites.
Oh, boy. If that game is within a touchdown,
yeah.
I think it could be a murmuring
yeah,
crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be a murmuring crowd.
BG's hosting Central. I think Central, I think that could be interesting. But
is that a letdown situation for BG?
Very possible.
Air on the balloon?
Bowling Green is undefeated at home. And if you had, that's the crazy thing about Bowling Green. If you had told me before the season that they would be 3-3, like I would have been incredibly skeptical. And then if you'd said they'd fall behind 21-0 with their backup quarterback against Toledo and be 3-3, I'd say you're absolutely nuts. But
that's why they play the games, Dave.
Brutal schedule to open up, and now it kind of opens up. Five of their last six games are against five of the teams picked in the bottom six of the preseason MAC poll. As we've seen, preseason polls mean nothing, but it does open up a little bit, and I think it is very conceivable Bowling Green is 6-2, 8-4 going into MAC title game, and if they have the right tiebreaker, who knows? I don't see why Bowling Green can't be in the MAC title game if they keep building on this.
So
I don't know if that
practically,
I don't know if they,
unless you're the biggest homer, you
right.
know, you have Pudge as
yeah.
in a painting
yeah.
in your basement,
which you do,
which I do. That's right. You probably wouldn't have said, Eddie George, he's just going to come in there and he'll be in the MAC
yeah.
championship.
50 new
for
players,
that to even be
yeah.
an aspiration.
50 new players,
almost
staff
60
thrown together in March.
Yeah,
unreal.
Yeah. All right, Dave. This has been the Heart of the Rivalry. Another great weekend of college football coming up. Michigan could be in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
The Washington team is good. I don't know why they're not ranked. They only have one loss, and
yeah.
it's to the Buckeyes.
I think they're
the clear number one team in the country.
Oh, yeah. I think they'll be ranked next week after beating Michigan. No. I'm picking Michigan. But
all right.
We'll see.
We'll see. Bum, 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 bum.
Go Bucks!